Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Last night, previously on Free Talk Live.
Ooh, nice callback.
Yes. We barely got to mention this article from mintpressnews.com. We mentioned we had a guest in the studio last night, Mr. Gerhard. Go hard for Gerhard.com.
And I love that website, by the way.
I made some reference about it being a his slogan being a carryover from when he was a teen and, you know, trying to you know,
impress the ladies.
Impress the ladies, you know, that kind of thing. He got a kick out of that. At any rate, the U.S. and allies, the U.S. allies, drop 46 bombs per day for over 20 years now, according to new Code Pink research.
That's rookie numbers.
Now, there's a bit of consternation.
And that's when we don't run out like we did under Obama.
Well, there's a bit of consternation about numbers in general of how many bombs are being dropped by the U.S. and their allies.
Too
because bad. Because during the Trump administration, they are still tallying how many bombs that they've shipped over there and dropped, but they're no longer reporting that number to the public.
Yeah, and they're also no longer tallying the number of people killed like they used to.
Right. Are they finally tallying his tax returns?
Code Pink's numbers are based primarily on official U.S. military releases, as well as from data from the Bureau of Investigative Journalism, the Yemen Data Project, and the New America Foundation. As striking as the figure of 326,000 bombs is, it is an underestimate.
Jesus.
Why is it an underestimate? Because the Trump administration, as I mentioned earlier, ceased publishing figures of its bombing campaigns in 2020, meaning there is no data for Iraq, Syria, or Afghanistan for either of the previous 2 years. Also not counted are bombs or missiles used in helicopter strikes, AC-130 gunship attacks, strafing runs from U.S. bombers, or any counterinsurgency or counterterrorism operations in other parts of the world. So you're right, 326,000 does seem like a lot, but it's an underestimation.
Yeah, and 46 a day seems like a lot as well, but I go like, that's a lot. How big are these bombs, and how are those countries, you know, pardon the term, not bombed to glass by now? Like, what's left after 46 bombs a day for, you know, anyone, any citizens, human beings still living in that area to do anything with?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've not been there, so I can't answer those questions for you.
I don't see a lot of pictures of it online going, this is what it looks like after 46 bombs a day.
Yeah, there's probably very good reason for that. You know, Biden, he gets into office. He promised a whole bunch of things, but what's the first thing he does? He bombs some brown people. That's right.
Yeah, it was interesting watching all the praise that he got for that, too. See, he didn't even talk about it. He wasn't talking smack. He just blew people up.
Okay,
like,
so
what, really?
I saw some of that, and I interpreted that as a little tongue-in-cheek.
I don't think it is, actually.
Okay. All right.
Like, honestly,
I want to interpret it that way, but I'm with Lee. I don't think that it was.
Okay.
Even if it was intended to be tongue-in-cheek, which I'm sure some people had, but a huge, huge part of why people hated Trump is because he didn't act right. He acted unpresidential.
He bombed them and tweeted about it.
When you are in that place, in that chair, behind that desk, in that office, in that particular mansion, you are supposed to act a very specific way, and none of that involves sending terrible, mean tweets to the leader of North Korea.
To anybody that's confused in our listening audience, I just want to lay it out for you quite simply. There is no way to bomb people with dignity. The article continues, war, 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 and more war. I mean, George Carlin said it best, we're a warlike people. And by we, he means the United States of America and the military. We really like bombing people. In fact, if your country's got some brown people in it, watch the F out. We're probably going to bomb you. The United States has been at war for nearly every year of its existence as an independent nation, fighting in 227 years of its 244-year history.
And winning all of them. Go America.
Yeah, well, I need to find winning. Since these wars, since I've been alive, have been never-ending, I would find it hard-pressed to say that they've won anything.
Hey, if it hasn't ended, you can't take the L, man. Just saying.
Well, it's not that we're a warlike. We don't like war. We just had to. And then we just really had to, you know, that one time. And then we had no choice the time after that.
So it's not a good position to be in, but America does position itself globally as like the world police, right? If they're being part of the UN, you're part of that.
America, you know. F yeah.
Right.
Coming again to say the mother effing day, yeah. One of my favorite sort of underground parodies. I don't remember who the artist is. I want to say Bob Rivers, but I'm not sure that it is Bob Rivers. But it's a song called Bomb Iran, right? And it's the Beach Boys, right? Bomb, 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 bomb.
I believe that was made famous by John McCain.
Yeah, John McCain.
Was it John McCain? No, because that song was out before McCain.
Well, the song, but McCain actually said, well, what do you want to do with Iran? He's like, oh, just like that. Bomb, 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 Iran.
Wow.
And then it became a thing.
Well, it's still continuing, the bombing of Iran, that is, according to this article from Mint Press News.
Well, it's because they're only like days away from getting nuclear weapons. What else are you going to do?
If we hadn't been bombing them all this time, they'd have already had it. Exactly. They've been days away from this thing for years.
Staved off because of the bombings.
You know, do you think it's possible to bomb somebody so much that they can't invent the radio?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah? I don't think so.
It is also...
Sorry, I don't think it's possible for you to bomb people in, you know, otherwise brown countries enough to prevent them from obtaining technology. I mean, they have cell phones, don't they? Didn't prevent them from getting that.
When I'm having a genocide carried out against my people, I always think that they're just so supportive.
Well, just got to point out it's just a cultural difference. That's all.
Now, just for contrast here, and because I like to say these things out loud to illustrate what preposterousness it is, if one bomb was dropped somewhere on the actual United States, right, something considered the geographic area known as the United States, I mean, there'd be hell to pay. One bomb.
9/11.
One bomb, you know?
That was two airplanes.
Yeah, that wasn't even a bomb.
Okay. Right. So
imagine if, you know, some airplane from some foreign country, you know, flew over, I don't know, Chicago, right, and dropped a bomb. Right? What would happen? What would the news be like? How would that coverage be? Now imagine that happening 46 times a day.
Yeah, again, it's difficult to conceptualize. I can't even picture that, you know.
You know, I do have to point out that that Biden is quite correct when it when he says that he's just returning to to Obama's position on the conflict. Yeah. Yes. Yes, he is.
It's a horrible position.
I mean, I know we didn't, you know, have any coverage of it at all for any of the time that Obama was in power, but holy crap, was he a warmonger.
The United States doesn't know its history particularly well, and that's why it gets duped by a lot of foreign powers who've been fighting each other for thousands of years. The Second World War could probably be traceable all the way back to 9 AD, when three Roman legions were betrayed by a former Roman general who was retired in Germany, and he double-crossed the Romans and had those three Roman legions, complete with the soldiers, their wives and their children and their animals and their pets, slaughtered in a forest in Germany. And that's how Germany got crossed off the map and declared barbarian territory in Russia, and Rome didn't want anything to do with him anymore. And that's why there was a German part of Europe and an Italian or a Roman part of Europe, or a romanticized part of Europe, what do you call it? Anyhow, and England was part of that, France was part of that, and that's why there were two divisions in Germany. And if that hadn't happened, the Second World War may not have happened. I mean, it's traceable that far back. And
a
those kinds of things have been going
on
in the Middle East for thousands of years as well. Just think of, for example, Dresden. The bombing of Dresden was a vendetta attack. It had nothing to do with anything other than a vendetta, and the British tricked the Americans into doing that. It didn't save one life, and it caused the death of 45,000 people.
The thing about learning history is that the human mind is not capable of learning certain things and capable of learning other things. What we're great at is narratives. telling each other stories is a thing that we've done since before we wrote things down.
Yes.
Robert is not great at narrative.
No. Right.
Okay.
So if
he
you
didn't
don't,
even start with you, once upon a time.
Right. If you don't put this in a context that we can relate to, then we won't even know what's going on, let alone be interested in it. Like, honestly, my interest in history waned from listening to Robert. Like,
yeah.
Yes, there's a difference between the head of state and head of government. Is that an important difference?
Dear audience, if we've alienated you from learning history in any way, shape, or form, we hereby apologize.
And I'm fascinated by the relationship between the United States and Saudi Arabia. I think it's responsible for our monetary system having not fallen yet. He launches into this thing with no context, no point of relation, and even I have difficulty listening to it when I'm already fascinated by the subject.
Yeah, I was just impressed with the fact that he could keep spouting words one after the other without breathing. That was, I mean, I don't know many people who can do that.
That was impressive.
Circular breathing.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
I heard some talk of election fraud, and it seems it's always understood to favor the Democrats and harm Republicans. That seems to be...
Not during the last cycle.
That seems to be the thrust of it.
During the Trump cycle, it was Trump was guilty of election fraud that kept Hillary out of office. Fair play.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, in general, for years and years and years now, this Rush Limbaugh guy that just died... They always talked about election fraud coming from one side only. Okay. That's all I basically get here where I am is talk radio, and it's all pro-Republican. Anybody claiming there's some liberal bias apparently isn't a talk radio listener like I am, and that's where I get most of it.
Because of Rush Limbaugh.
But I wanted to point out that the important thing everybody's missing all the time is that rarely, I never hear anyone pointing out that the important, obvious voter fraud is evident in a system which offers us as choices a couple of puppets like Trump and Biden in the first place. The true rulers and owners in society are people that are never mentioned. It's the moneyed class, and that these politicians, this is just a marketplace, and the moneyed class basically has moved into position people who are no threat to the existing order.
Yeah,
they have absolutely no clue. I've talked to politicians that in my yard here, they come up and try to convince me to vote for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never found a one of them who can honestly answer the question of who creates our money and how do they do it. They have no understanding of the fraudulent nature of this money system we live under and the fact that that institution basically is the apex institution in society.
Yeah, well, and you're absolutely right. I mean, the fundamental power that these government people have, apart from violence, is the issuance of money. And you can't even afford to make that kind of violence unless you can issue money. I mean, that's a big part of why we talk about cryptocurrency on this show.
Yeah, but I mean, that's another, don't get me started on that one, but... It's the money system has never been properly. For instance, most people still think that the government. I talk with people about this all the time, one-on-one situations, and a lot of people still believe that the government prints the money.
I think one of the high points for us liberty-minded individuals of the Joe Biden presidency now is this is the greatest evidence towards a puppet leadership because it is so clear that he is being controlled by somebody else, right? Because cognitively, he's just not there like, you know, Trump was. Like Trump was, you know, like him or hate him, he was
come on, man.
He was on point with his match, right? That's it, right? The latest with the Biden thing was, you know, like, I'm open to questions if anyone's got any, and then boom, right? The feed gets cut. He's not answering anything.
Well, and I mean, I think that's part of why people voted for him, is that he is the institution. Like, People voted for Trump because he was Trump. Yeah. People voted for Biden because he's the institution. Like, well, he's not, he doesn't have his own
voter fraud. And that's if you believe there was no voter fraud.
Right. Well, I mean, regardless, whether or not and how much there was, like, there are people that voted for him.
Yeah.
And mostly it's because he's the establishment. Like, it's not that he has this, you know, unique personality or anything like that. It's they wanted the establishment back.
But it's very clear that the establishment is just puppeteering the man, Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah.
This go-round.
I mean, all the go-rounds, but sure, well, this one might be go-rounds. This one might be more obvious.
Obama was very eloquent, right? Trump was Trump, and now you have Biden, which is clearly a puppet. One of the beautiful things about having the freedom here is the freedom to do as you wish when it comes to how to make your money, right? So occupational licensing isn't really a big thing here. So, you know, if you have skills, you can employ them almost immediately.
Okay.
The free state project or any of the other organizations aren't going to provide you with an income upon landing. But
no, you got to go out and make your own keep, and that's part of being human.
If you ingratiate yourself within the community, right, there are always opportunities with, you know, community members if they're saying like, hey, I need a worker, or I need this, or I need that, and you can definitely find something if you're willing to work hard.
I had a small second question.
Sure.
I did some stupid things when I was a lot younger, and say I got my rights restored.
Okay.
Which means, yes, I'm a felon, but now I can actually physically own guns in this state. You can do that. You can get your rights restored. It's a long process and a lot of money.
Mark Age is working on that at some point in Florida as well.
Does that state reciprocate in that? You know, do they have problems with, you know, other people that, oh, you have a felony, but I still am allowed to own them. Does that cross any, you know, from one state to another, does that state have an issue with it?
Yeah, I don't know the legal answer to that. So I would consult an attorney.
States are stupid because, first of all, it's just somebody drew some line on a map at some point.
Political boundaries.
I've never understood. See what?
Political boundaries.
Yeah, and I've never understood, you know, why somehow, let's say 150 years ago, somebody who drew those lines, why anyone is paying attention to those today. But here's really why states are stupid. You know, they all have capitals. They all have separate legislatures. They have separate laws. All the laws are different. A lot of them are the same. A lot of the titles that people carry in these so-called states are different. I'm talking about the borders. Police have different uniforms, cars, flags, insignias, all this stuff. But the crazy thing is, you know, I'm up here in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and across the river is Spokane, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Spokane, you can go over there and get all the cannabis you want in any form. You show up in Idaho with that, you're going to jail.
Right.
Yep.
You've seen the animal from the inside then.
Oh, the corruption, yeah. It's just, that's why I left.
I think one of the things
unbelievable.
I think one of the things you probably notice when you talk to those people and present them with that, you're summarily dismissed because they cannot let that sink into their consciousness.
Well, occasionally there'll be somebody who goes, well, I like to pay taxes. I like the things that we have. And I'm going, well, then cover whatever you think I owe to then, okay?
Right.
Because I ain't playing.
They immediately come to the defense of their oppressor.
Yeah, I just don't get this, as you know from hearing me before, I just don't get this whole thing of how people can see just other people as somehow more important because all of a sudden they moved from next door to you into some office that's owned by a mafia of some sort. I call them all mafias. That's why I try to persuade people not to use any of their terminology, but to replace it with something derogatory.
That's true.
Yeah, like goons, tyrants, despots, parasites, thugs, mafia, gang, idiots, liars, thieves, lunatics, killers, and gang members.
Yeah, because, of course, whenever... It's all psychology. All government, this thing we call government is, it's all a psyop, it's psychology, it's working on your brain. That's what allows you to think that somehow they have a right to your money.
debate over income tax is an endless one. But when you ask the wrong question, like he proposed to ask, you know, something like, does the government have the right to take money that you earn or part of the money you earn, or however he phrased it? Mm-hmm. Of course, the answer is, well, no, that doesn't sound right. However, first of all, the government, at least in theory, is not an entity by itself. It's the representatives. It's the people you elect.
Well, I don't want to be represented.
Pardon me?
I don't want to be represented.
Right, okay. Libertarians don't want government.
What's wrong with that?
Without income tax... So anyway, if you ask the wrong question, say, for example... if someone asked me, do you want your 20-year-old daughter to marry this 80-year-old Mexican black guy? Then my answer will be no. Does this mean I am a racist and against aging and blah, blah, blah? No. It's just because it probably won't work. Okay, so anyway, so how would you repair the roads and how would...
The parking lot. Now, parking lots in general have very few potholes.
The question about no insurance, what if you got in an accident, a catastrophic accident, and you had no one to sue and you had to pay for it?
Theoretically, you would be on the hook. However, here's what I've learned under the current system, and I am open to the argument that I am now a hypocrite when it comes to this, but several years ago, 2016, I also was not carrying insurance because I had like 3 part-time jobs and it wasn't mandated. And then I got hit by a car. Bam! Right? Broke my leg, ended up in the hospital. The first thing the hospital did is make me fill out all the insurance paperwork for Obamacare at the time and then retroactively made it apply to me. Like, all right.
Well, that seems to work.
Wins on both ends.
Wow.
My hospital bill went from $50,000 to zero. And then I got a settlement.
And then another aspect of insurance is, whenever these people don't get insurance, they don't go see their cheaper practitioner for a minor situation.
Right.
So then they have to go to the emergency room whenever their minor situation becomes too big for them to deal with. So that ends up going on all of our bills anyway. Well, so we might as well just
our system
have it government mandated anyway.
Yeah, our system's awful. Yeah, awful at preventative care.
For those who don't know, there was a time in the United States of America, there was a time when you would belong to what's known as a friendly society or some sort of group of people.
Mutual
aid network. And you would get together with these people, and you all would pay the annual salary for a physician.
No one sees the price of care because it's always done by the insurance company. And that has spiked the prices beyond what the normal person would pay for those services.
Yes.
Like if I broke my leg and the bill was $10,000, you know, out of pocket, I might need a payment plan, but I could cover that.
Yeah.
But $50,000.
Now, also, there's the government bloating of these medical industries, right? Because they are so hugely overregulated.
That's the problem.
Right. The overregulation of these medical industries is so insane that you can't get anything for a decent price, unless, of course, you leave, you know, the geographic area known as the United States and go to some place where it's not so heavily regulated and you can buy the product for actual retail price, not inflated government price.
And that's also part of the problem with preventative medicine, is that it is so very difficult to be allowed to practice any kind of medicine here that only a certain kind of medicine can get practiced under that kind of regulatory environment. Mm. And I'll tell you, it's not preventative.
Yeah, I think the overall message here is that the medical field is so foobarred, for lack of a better term, from a libertarian perspective. There's so many angles you can take.
Yeah. I've never had porcupine. Does it taste like chicken?
You do not want to have porcupine. One time I was out hunting, and a trick my old man taught me is you lay down something that smells like you, and you got a critter, you know, a squirrel or whatever. We're out hunting in the winter up here. It's hard.
Yep.
And we'd lost a hound. So, I found a quill pig in a tree, and I popped him, and I gutted him open, and it was the most rotten green yellow fat that I ever did see. They eat pine for a living.
Ooh.
Nothing in his right mind will eat a quill pig unless he's starving.
All right.
And that's the old wood lore's why you don't kill one, is because it's about the only critter in the woods you can catch and kill with a club with a broken leg.
You know, Pat, I've learned something today.
There was a recent bill that I think came up in the Senate where one of the Republican senators required that the bill be read out loud.
Yeah,
the guy from Washington, or not Washington, Wisconsin.
Okay, so not Rand Paul. Is that your
Wisconsin
suggestion?
Johnson?
I thought it was Rand Paul. I thought it was Rand Paul that tried to pass the bill to, like, you have to read bills or we're not allowed to pass them. And surprise, surprise, all of Congress went, passing that.
No, no, that's the Read the Bills Act in some form or fashion. This was, like, he got on the Senate floor or whatever and said, like, I'm motioning that this be read before we take a vote on it. And then they spent 10 hours and two aides reading the entire text of this, you know, bill of some kind.
Oh, nice.
And by the time they got 10 hours to the end of it,
filibuster ever.
Everyone except for that one congressman, senator, whatever, like, had already left the building. Like, he was the only ones, and they're reading this thing into the record, and he's the only one still sitting there.
Nice. Pat, any further thoughts?
Heaven forbid they make us do our homework.
Well, you know, they shouldn't make us do anything. We should elect to do our own homework.
I'm talking about the royal we there in Washington.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.